The Holy Gospel according to the 23rd chapter of St. Luke, beginning with the 33rd verse. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to please be seated. And just so you know, I've got some slides I'm going to show, so you can either be in the dark or imagine things if you like, or come down. Who has the clicker this morning? All right. I promise I'll give it back when I'm done. Oh, wait. This one right here, right? That's the button? Okay, perfect. Given my history with technology here, I want to make sure I have this figured out. So I'm going to show you a picture here. That's a picture of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And Holy Sepulchre is the burial chamber where Jesus is said to have been laid after he was crucified. This is in Old Jerusalem. And the site itself, not the church, but the site itself dates back, I think they've gone back as far as approximately 10 years before, or 10 years after Jesus' crucifixion, when they started preserving the site. So it's been holy for a really, really, really long time. Once inside, you'll see this stone right here at the bottom. And that stone is called the Stone of Anointing. And it's believed that under that stone, which they've commemorated there, under that stone, that's the place where Jesus' body was laid after he was taken off the cross, and they anointed it with oil to prepare it for burial. Also, it's about 6 meters long and a meter wide, so it's pretty big. I wanted to tell you that, too. This here is a mosaic that's on the wall behind that spot. So if you were looking at the Stone of the Anointing, that would be directly behind you. And as you can see, it's quite large, and it tells the story. And this is the tomb right here inside the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. It surrounds that. I was blessed to have the opportunity to be standing right where that picture is because I took that picture. And when you go inside of the tomb, it's very small, and you crouch down, and you're not allowed pictures because it's a holy place. And we waited in line about 2 hours, and that was considered a short wait to see that. So, okay, I'm done with the clicker. I'll give you that back for now. Thank you very much. So the reason I wanted to show you these pictures is one, because it's really cool, and two, these are the places where Jesus' body went after he died. And this day, when we celebrate Christ the King, the end of the church year, as we get ready to launch into Advent next week, it seemed appropriate to show these, because as we celebrate Jesus the King, Jesus who did all these miracles while he was alive. Remember, he had people walking on water, right? Peter, till he got scared. Remember the fish when the fishermen weren't catching any fish, and he said, put your nets over on the other side, and there were so many fish in the nets. When he turned water into wine at the wedding of Cana. The miracles when he healed people. He was pretty busy. But see, in all that stuff that he did, and as great as it is, that makes him king because he is the king, he overcame the power of death. That body that was anointed on that stone that you saw a few minutes ago, the body that was put inside the burial chamber, the tomb, Jesus is much bigger than that. And it's important, right? It's important to have Jesus in our life and to recognize him as the King. Over 2,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago when Jesus was crucified, something really important happened. If you were listening in our gospel, you would have heard that Jesus is having a conversation with the two criminals at the very end. The one criminal, again, who has been crucified, chooses in this moment to deride Jesus, to mock him. He says, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." Can you imagine what Jesus was thinking when he heard this? He's on this cross, has been through a lot of pain and suffering and humiliation. He's been mocked by the soldiers and other people. And you've got this criminal trying to lift the criminal's self up by tearing Jesus down. But Jesus doesn't answer him. Then we have the other criminal. The other one who says, "Do you not fear God since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? We indeed have been condemned justly, for we're getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." The second criminal that we were talking about at Bible study earlier this week. Is this really the first recorded deathbed confession? He's not in a bed. But the criminal is letting Jesus know, and this other criminal, you know, we deserve our punishment. Has anybody ever been there for someone's last words? I have. But I'm going to tell you a story, not about a time when I was with the person, but that my pastor told me. She was with a family who I happen to know. And she had been my former pastor that was telling me this. She had been with a family, and they were at the mom's deathbed. They had been together for days, sitting with her, praying, and listening to hymns, and reading scripture and such. And the last thing the mom said to her two adult daughters was, "The guy that you thought was your father really wasn't." Right? Yeah, see, can you imagine? Now, this is in the early 90s. Can you imagine? They didn't have those DNA testing things then. These girls were grown, like, you know, in their 40s and 50s. Now, whether it was true or not, who knows? We don't know if she was really lucid enough to really just wanted to get that off of her chest at the last second, just in case. Or if it was something that was just kind of playing through her mind and came up. I don't know. But it was something. And those girls forever, I'm sure, are still wondering, what do we do with that? I don't have an answer. But here in our gospel lesson, the second criminal, he teaches us something. And so does Jesus. See, the second criminal, he teaches us that it's okay to take stuff to Jesus. It's okay in our moments of pain and shame and humiliation to admit where we've gone wrong. Tell him what's on our hearts. Really, what choice did the criminal have? He wasn't going to go anywhere, but he was going to die soon, and he knew that. He puts his hope in Jesus. The very last second, the very last moments of his life, he puts his hope in Christ, recognizing him as the Messiah. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And did you notice what Jesus' response was? It wasn't, well, I know that you've done this, 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 and this wrong. I know you messed up here, and boy, you and that other criminal dude, you had quite a lifetime. You messed up. He doesn't say that. He gives the man hope. He says, truly, I tell you, today, you will be with me in paradise. Those are profound words. As they're up there on those crosses, unable to get down, humiliated, made a mockery of in front of everyone to teach them a lesson of what not to do. Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. It seems weird to me, the timing of the church year, how we celebrate Christ the King and go right into Advent and then Christmas, where we look at the birth of Jesus and then the beginning of his ministry. It seems weird. It seems weird because we're supposed to talk about this stuff at Easter time, during Holy Week and Easter, about Jesus being crucified. But the thing is, without him dying, would we know him as the King? He's crucified, died, and is resurrected. The body that was anointed on that stone and that was in that tomb overcame all of that. And you see, as we work our way into the season of Advent next week, beginning, it makes sense that we celebrate Christ the King this day, because this King brings us hope, joy, peace, and love. This day, this coming season, every day. He's the King of all kings, offering us forgiveness, love, and compassion. And when he says, today you will be with me in paradise, my prayer is that we all can remember that when we are on our deathbeds and every day. Because with that King, we are with him in paradise. Because of his love and support and care and teachings in the community that he gives to all of us. Amen.